And Jesus said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and to the end of the earth.
What does Jesus' mission look like here?
What's his mission here?
What does Jesus' mission look like here?
What does Jesus' mission look like here?
What is Jesus' mission here?
How do I know what Jesus' mission is?
Kids Rock. Here we go, this way. Now, if you're too old for Kids Rock, please stay in here. I need you. But Kids Rock with Miss Alicia and Ty Keem this morning. Well, be praying this morning. Pastor Andrew and his family's out of town today, so be praying for them. But as always, when he's out and he asks me if I can fill in, it is always a blessing. I consider it a privilege to be with you this morning. We are continuing where he left off last week in Acts. We're just going to not miss a beat and just keep on going. But I have a question for you. There's a veterinarian clinic in Bradfordville as you head into Tallahassee that's always on their sign. They have something kind of catchy. Oh, wait. Well, they had one this past week. And let me see if you can get it. What do you get if you cross a four-leaf clover and poison ivy? A rash of good luck. What does that have to do with today? Here's what it's got to do with today. As believers and followers of Jesus Christ, we don't have to sit back and wait on good luck. God has it planned out. And that is where we're moving to this morning. Last week, Pastor Andrew preached. I'm not going to put you on a test, because if you're like me, you've slept a few nights since then, and you probably don't remember unless you wrote down notes. But he had a theme for his message that was on the very first slide that popped up. And I'll be honest, if I wouldn't have wrote it down, I probably would have trouble recalling it myself. But it was this: God's intention for Christians is to spiritually mature. You remember that? That was out of Acts 16, verses 1 through 5. Well, you know what? We're picking up on verse 6 now. And that leads straight into this. What does that look like? What does it look like? Well, I'm a youth pastor. Been doing it a couple of years. 30. You know you've been doing it a long time when your students have kids graduating high school. But I won't pretend that Kim and I are that old. I can't do that. But that means I have to pull out some things. And I like toys. Y'all know what this is, right? I borrowed it from the nursery. I didn't ask permission, so I hope they're not looking for it. But it's got the different shapes. And I've got this here. God's will is kind of like this. There's a place for it that this will fit perfectly within. But if you're like me, the other shapes look pretty cool. And we're forever trying to push what we want where it don't go. You ever done that? You may have even done like me. I'm going, gummit, it won't go. We're fixing to make this thing go. And you go out there. And you get the biggest mallet. And next thing you know, what have I done? I hit it. I'm going to make this fit. What have I done? I've done broke it. You know? That's kind of the way we look at God's will. And we get tired of beating what we want. And we finally go, I give up. There it is. Well, we're going to look at this morning what maturity, spiritual maturity, looks like. And we'll see in the next passage, verses 16 through 15 of Acts chapter 16 is this. It is trust and obedience to what God's will is in our life. That's kind of hard, especially if you have your own ideas of what it should look like. Sometimes it don't look like what I think it should look like. But here's what we do know. God's will is this, is for us to love God, love others. And when those two work together, we're going to share the gospel and the love of God with those around us. So the question is, where, when, and how do we do that? And Acts addresses that. You see, following God's will is answering the where, the when, and the how questions. It's not pursuing what I want. It's not pursuing my desires. It's not pursuing my goals. It's not forcing what's not meant to be, and it's not avoiding what is meant to be. It is patiently waiting for God to reveal and direct us to where we go. And we see that in Acts chapter 16. As I was reading through this passage, it made me think. Putting the square peg in a round hole don't work. It's like when I finally give in and I said, okay, God, what do you want with my life? And he called me to the ministry. There was something I begged I could do. And I couldn't do it. Kim goes, thank goodness. And some of our students have gone, thank goodness. It's this. I wish I could sing. How cool for a youth pastor to get up there, lead them, and pull out his guitar and lead and worship and then preach. That just didn't work. I have a problem pushing play on my iPhone, okay? It just wouldn't work. And finding what God's will, no matter how much, because let's be honest, that was a noble idea. Was it like pretty cool? That'll work. God, let me sing. It'd be like this. I was talking with Hakeem, and he got up and left out the other day. And he's very gifted singing. The boy can sing. I said, Hakeem, you preach this Wednesday, and I'll sing. He looked at me. He goes, oh, no. I said, am I singing that bad? He goes, and I ain't preaching. But that's like putting a square peg into a round hole. It's not meant to be. And sometimes we try to force what's meant to be, or we avoid what should be, thinking it's God's word. And so we want to dive in and look at this Acts chapter 16, verses 6 through 15. And Luke is the writer, and understand this. The whole theme of this book is expansion of the church with the gospel. That is what the book is about. And we play a part in it. And we can learn from Paul in this passage that is beginning his second missionary journey, what it looks like to be obedient and trust God in his plans and his wills for our life. So let's read this together. If you got your Bible, Acts chapter 16, verse 6. Now, I may be a year or two older than Pastor Andrew. My eyes are not as young as his, so I got to borrow some glasses. Here we go. It says, and they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And when they had come up to Messiah, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So passing by Messiah, they went down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there urging him and saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go on into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So setting sail from Troas, we made a direct voyage to Samothrace. There's some of these words I struggle. This Cajun accent just won't do it, okay? And the following day, in Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We remained in this city some days, and on the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to the riverside, where we supposed there was a place of prayer, and we sat down and spoke to the woman who had come together. One who heard us was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods, who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. And after she was baptized and her household as well, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." And she prevailed upon us. So what does that have to do with figuring out God's will? Are you ready? You ready? This was actually pretty good. I enjoyed this passage when Pastor Andrew asked me to do it. We can see that Paul and his companions were very committed to sharing the gospel. They wanted to do exactly what God wanted, had commissioned them to do. They wanted to go share the gospel of Jesus Christ to places that had never heard it before. They wanted to go and make a difference. They had all done all that they could where they were at, and they reckoned that Asia was next, or as we would call Asia Minor, okay? That was the next place to go because the gospel has not made it there. And on the way there, they would go through Colossae and Ephesus on their way there. But something happened. Did someone get ill? Did someone have second guesses? No. The Holy Spirit said, "That's not what you're supposed to do. Don't go there." So he goes, "Okay, what do I do now?" So they turned and headed to Bethania, which was a great location. It had, on the Black Sea, some seaports that many people from other nations and countries were coming to, and they go, "We go there, we reach them with the gospel." They go home. What has happened? The gospel is going back to their house. Very good idea. Would you agree? I think it's pretty intelligent. I mean, he's thinking through all this. But the Holy Spirit said, "No, that's not it. That's not it." So he's like, "What do I do?" Now, Paul, I don't envision Paul being one to sit back and go, "Well, I just give up. God shut that door. I just give up." Well, I'm sure when he went to sleep that night, he was probably very confused because he had in his mind figured out the best way to do what God wanted them to do, a very good idea to do what was meant to be. And in the middle of the night, God spoke to him. A man appeared to him in a dream and said, "Come to Macedonia, we need your help." Well, he woke up the next morning and he goes, "I got it figured out now. We're going to Macedonia." He shared it with the rest of the group, and they all were in agreement, and off they headed there. So what can we learn about God's will from this passage? Here's what I want you to think about. Verses 6 and 7. That we have plans. Any of y'all have plans you plan out? Any when you were younger, you laid out your plans for what your life was going to look like? What are you going to go study? Who are you going to marry? How many kids you're going to have? You got your plans. Paul had plans. But we'll notice real quick that a good plan is not always the right plan. A good plan is not always the right plan. Paul had some really good plans. There was nothing wrong with the plans, but they're not always the right plan. Paul's earlier ideas about where and how to take the gospel were very solid, because these areas were very fertile mission fields. Now, God was not saying they don't need it. God was saying it's not time yet. It's not for you, Paul. Here's one thing. I'm going to kind of jump ahead. You ready? It does happen later in Acts when the timing was right. And not only once, we see that two really, really good plans by Paul were not the right plans. They were not right. So understand this, as we're trying to figure out and determine in our life what is God's will for us, not always the good plan is the right plan. It's kind of like this. I ask you if you had thought about, when you were younger, what your future would look like. I did that. I had it all figured out. Got a job, and it was with a startup company, and it was doing good. I had figured out, I got two kids. Man, this job is going to be it. I had moved up from a little low man on the totem pole to a regional sales manager for a company out of Mississippi. And man, I got to travel. It was cool. My area of sales was Mississippi, Louisiana, Alabama, Georgia, Florida, and Tennessee. And I got to travel. I loved it. And when I finally hit the jackpot on one of my big sales, man, I don't know if any of y'all ever heard of True Green. You know, they do the yard stuff to make your yard look real pretty. I won their national contract for all of their printing stuff. It was like, my plans are good. They're working out. They're working out. But you see, even back in high school, I felt this urge that God wanted me to do something different. And I said, no way. Growing up a preacher's kid, I saw things in church I wanted no part of. I said, that's not going to be me. Forget it. Forget it. But you see, as I kind of grew uneasy about it, God kind of whispered to me. And all of a sudden, God put me in places that it was like, you either come with me or you're going to be miserable. And 30 years later, I'm just thankful that God took a good plan and set me on the right plan. I wouldn't want it any different. So understand that not always is the good plan the right plan. That sometimes God's got something bigger because he sees the bigger picture. He sees what's going on. Now, here's something that's really, really hard. I don't know about it is for you, but it is for me. I have this part of me that can be stubborn sometimes. Kim goes, yeah. But here it is. You ready? We must have humility to recognize when God says no. How many, anybody in here likes to hear the word no? We don't, especially if we think we got it all figured out. We don't like the word no. And the second part of understanding God's will is the humility to recognize when God says no. What happens when he says no twice? That's kind of hard. You see, for most of us as Christians, we think when God says no that we're totally out of his will, our prayer life isn't right, or we're not diving into God's word enough. But that's not the case, because sometimes it's part of our journey that each step God has given us direction one step at a time. It's not a no because it's a bad idea. It's a no because God's got something better, something right for us. And sometimes it's really hard to accept the no. I'm thinking this way, okay? Paul, if I put myself in Paul's shoes, no Paul, I'm not a Paul, not even close, but I'm thinking if that's Robbie there, God says no the first time, I'm probably going, okay, I got it, and I get the second idea. Then nobody talking me out of it. I'm going to do it regardless. I tell you what, it took a lot of humility for Paul to say, I'm wrong, that's not the right plan, not once, but twice he said it. Takes a lot of humility. And we can see in the Bible stories of that. Think about this. Samuel, he nearly fell into this same exact trap when he was sent to anoint Jesse's son for future king of Israel. He's there. Jesse brought out his oldest son. Oh, man, that's the king. He's big. He's tall. He's handsome. He's got everything that a king needs. He was about ready to anoint him when God said, no, not him. Move to the second one. Oh, he looked good too. He's going to do well. He'd be a great king. But again, God said no. Not once, not twice, 7 times. I would be getting just a little bit discouraged. I don't know about you, but I'm going, man, God, you just told me no 7 times. Boy, something's wrong. Because all of these look really good. They were good plans for the next king. In the end, Samuel asked, was there any more? And there was. David, the scrawny shepherd boy that was the youngest and smallest, still working out in the field. They brought him in, and God said, this is the right plan. This is it. If choosing a new king had been left to Samuel's own wisdom, he would have selected the very first one. But God stopped him. And it was actually number 8. You see, God did the same thing with Paul. He said, Paul, that's some really good ideas, but that's not it. That's not the right idea. That's not the right plan. Determination is a great thing, but it always must be softened with the humility to accept no sometimes is the right answer. So to understand God's will, understand that a good plan is not always the right plan. And then humility to recognize when God says no. And then you ready for this? Openness to a new direction. I kind of see, as I visualize this, that God's plan is like, I don't know where I'm where his plan's leading me way down the road, but I know where it is on this step right here. I take this step, and then that act of faith, the next step becomes evident, whether it's here or here. And you take that step in the act of faith, the next step becomes evident. Becomes evident. And sometimes we take that step and we think, ah, there it is. My step's to go over there and play the piano. Well, I take that first step and then God redirects you. Somewhere else go, oh no, Robbie, it's not for you. So one step at a time. Sometimes God will, it's for us, it's his direction. For him, it's his direction. For us, sometimes we see it as a redirection. And we see that in verses 8 through 10. You see, I think it's kind of dangerous to think that we have it all figured out when God reveals us his will on our first step and first step only. Because then we think we have it all figured out. See, going to Macedonia was the third plan in Paul's mind. And initially, he had no intention at all going there. Bithynia was wrong. Asia was wrong. Then the vision. A cry for help from Macedonia. If Paul had stuck with plan A, the missionary group would have been going in the wrong direction. Heading in the total wrong direction. When it comes to guidance, Paul's story highlights two things. Just real quick. First is, never assume we see the entire big picture. God shows us what we need at the time and place when we need it. And then we must not assume that God is never going to reroute us or change our direction. Sometimes he does, because he sees the big picture. You see, businesses today that are very successful have two types of plan. We got some business people in here. One is this, short-term frame vision. Then they have a long-term time frame vision, which is open to what may change, what may come out that's new, what the demands may be down the road. See, that should be for us as well. Seeing that God sees the big picture. When things change and our directions get altered, we see it as a surprise. Oh, man. Understand this, there's no surprises for God. When this happens, it's no surprise for God. What we see as surprise are God opportunities, and blessings will follow when we're obedient. So one, a good plan is not always a right plan. Humility to recognize when God says no and openness to a new direction. And the last thing is this, perseverance to find and do God's will. Takes patience, takes perseverance to find and do. I kind of like this, where I've used this before, but never give up. Never give up seeking and doing God's will, no matter your age, and no matter your life circumstance. Don't give up. When someone comes up with a new idea, I've heard this, you know, being in church a couple of years, a few years, I've seen this repeated over and over. And I'm not saying I've seen it here,
don't get me wrong, but I've seen it, and you will probably say, I've heard this too. But when there's someone that thinks they got a new idea, a fresh idea, they propose it, there's a couple of phrases that are devastating to it. You ready? It's not, I don't think it's a good idea. It's not, I think there's a bad idea. It's this: we've tried it before, it didn't work, don't waste your time. Maybe it wasn't the time for it. I don't know. Or this: we're not ready for that. We're not ready. Those things, you know, those ideas become very it just kind of sticks us like in a mud hole and we get stuck. You see, Paul tried and tried and tried to find God's will. He persevered. He was struggling, but he wasn't giving up. He had a very healthy determination. It's kind of like this. Think of the Olympic-level figure skater. You know, those people that get on ice, they're going around, they jump up and they twirl, and I just watch it and I get dizzy. Those people. I wonder how many times they fell before they made it to that level. Or a gymnast. Olympic level gymnast. I wonder how many times they fell off the balance beam or fell on the floor exercise before they got to their level. I bet you they got some bruises to show for it. But they got up and they were determined that they were going to accomplish what their goals were. Christians, we have a prize greater than any gold medal. The prize of our time, our money, our gifts, and our lives to help people near and far experience the love of God. Paul didn't give up. Just because he was stopped from going to his first plan and his second plan, he didn't give up. He still pursued what God's will is. And God answered one step at a time. And when we follow God's will, even one step at a time, and he reveals, he redirects. When he does that, the results are incredible. It's like what I want to call it, it's like God-sized moments that only God can do, and all we can do is back up and say, wow, that was a God thing. See, when we pursue God's will, here's some things that happen. He goes before us. He prepares us the way and what we're supposed to be doing. Then, if we pursue him, he'll show up and show out. And that's when we can just back up and say, it's just God. It's God. It's only God. And we can see that in the next passage of Scripture, verses 11 through 15 with Lydia. Some things come to my mind as I was reading this that I studied that I'd never thought about before. But here was Lydia. Lydia was an extremely successful lady, extremely successful, very wealthy. Dealing in the purple was a very cherished and prized business because it was very valuable. So she had a very good business, very wealthy. But we see that even though she wasn't Jewish, she was among the Jewish people seeking God. She was attending, trying to learn about God as she went. As if you read that, it says she was a worshiper of God. She was not a follower of God. She was going with them to worship, seeking out truth, trying to understand what truth is. Let me just tell you, today, people are dying to hear truth. And they need to receive truth. That's what we're called to do, is the truth of God's love, God's forgiveness, God's grace, God's mercy. Lydia was seeking truth, and she became the very first convert in Europe, which is huge. You know why? Because now the expansion of the gospel was going west. Paul's trust and obedience to God led to an incredible God moment that affected history. Here's how one commentator put it. Authentic turning points in history are few, but surely among them is that of the Macedonian vision, and it ranks high. Because of Paul's obedience at this point, the gospel went westward, and ultimately Europe and the Western world was evangelized. Christian response to the call of God is never a trivial thing. Indeed, as in this instance, great issues and untold blessings may depend on it. Do you know where we live? West.
Because he was obedient, the gospel moved west. Paul persevered, not knowing what was next. He was not at an end point when the no's come. He refused to go ahead of the Holy Spirit. He waited until God provided the way. No other goal would do. The result was that the gospel went into Europe, and the destiny of millions down through centuries have been changed forever because of it. So here's what I want you to walk out of here with. If you forget everything, that's okay. Here's a big idea. I want you to walk out of here with this. And I mentioned this earlier, but here's it is. What we see as surprises are God's opportunities, and blessings will follow obedience to him. And how does that work? With growing in God's word, patience, perseverance, and prayer from us, the God who already knows it all perfectly will make his will known. And when he does, we are to go forward boldly with confidence and determination, because with God's way, there's no other place we would want to be. So where are you? Where am I? In trusting and being obedient to God's will. We do know that the very first part of God's will, the very first, the starting point, is for every single one of us to have a personal relationship with him. We know that's it. That's the beginning point. To give our heart to him, to turn to him, and be adopted into his family. Move from an incredible creation of God to a child of God. That's his first will for every single one of us. If you've never done that, that is God's will for you today. To do that, to accept him. And then secondly, his will is for us to follow him one step at a time. And every step open to the way God is directing that particular step, or maybe even redirecting. And as we take one step at a time, God's will becomes more clear as time passes, with our faithful prayer and following his word. So what is God's will? To love him with all of our heart, to give our hearts to him, and then to follow him one step at a time. Don't make what's not meant to be, and don't avoid what's meant to be. God will provide a way. He goes ahead, he prepares. And he prepares us, and he prepares what he's got for us. That is God's will for us. So our challenge as we close this morning is this. If you've never done that very first step, that first part of God's will, of giving your heart to him, there's no better time than today. There's no better opportunity than the now. But maybe you've given your heart and you go, I just need to trust him one step at a time to reveal and have faith that he's going to show me what his will is for my life, for my heart. And be patient and persevere to find and do the will of God. Maybe that's it. If that's it, man, you can pray and just say, God, help me be more faithful to following what you have for my life. Right where you are, you can pray and talk to God. Or you can come up here. The altars are always open to spend time with God. So whatever it is, whether it's to give your heart to God or it's just to say, God, I want to seek and understand and follow your will, even one step at a time. This is what God's call is. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we do have God's word, your word, stories and truth in your word, Father, that we can apply to our life. And Father, we know that you love us. You love us incredibly. So much you sent your son for us, that he died for us and he rose again, Father, to give us a hope and a future. But also, Father, your love is for us today as we walk step by step, you giving us direction. And I pray that every one of us are faithful to seek you and the things that we do. And if there's anyone here, Father, that needs to make that first step of giving their heart to you, we just pray that they don't let this time pass. They want to talk about it, pray about it. Just pray, Father, that they'll find someone to talk.
talk and pray with. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let us stand together. Yeah.